Our scripture reading this morning comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 23 all the way to chapter 11, verse 1, the believer's freedom. I have the right to do anything, you say, but not everything is beneficial. I have the right to do anything, but not everything is constructive. No one should seek their own good, but the good of others. Eat anything sold in the meat market without raising questions of conscience, for the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. If an unbeliever invites you to a meal and you want to go, eat whatever is put in front of you without raising questions of conscience. But if someone says to you, "This has been offered in sacrifice," then do not eat it, both for the sake of the one who told you and for the sake of conscience. I am referring to the other person's conscience, not yours, for why is my freedom being judged by another's conscience? If I take part in the meal with thankfulness, why am I denounced because of something that I thanked God for? So whatever you eat or you drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Do not cause anyone to stumble, whether Jews, Greeks, or the Church of God. Even as I try to please everyone in every way, for I am not seeking my own good, but the good of many, so that they may be saved. Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. Amen.
Thank you, Mike, for the reading. Well, I sent an email out on Friday, and it shared with the congregation some of where I'm going to be coming to over the next number of weeks through August and into September. This October is going to be the 500th anniversary of the Reformation. We'll look back to October 31st, 1517, and Martin Luther, a German monk, nailed his theses to the door, the door of the castle church in Wittenberg, Germany, and you can trace things as they unfolded in the early part of the 16th century through Germany, Switzerland, and into Scotland, where our own Presbyterian Church in Canada traces its major roots and beginnings. The anniversary is not something that everyone is perhaps eager to celebrate. Some feel that there's been more harm, let's say, done. More negative that's taken place because of what happened in that period of time and in the centuries since. I want to be speaking over the next number of weeks about what I see as the positives, and speaking to that principally through addressing five things that came to identify, five things that came to be understood as bedrock out of that period of time. We call them the solas. Solus is sola, the Latin word for alone, faith alone, grace alone, Christ alone, Scripture alone, the glory of God alone. Now that's something of the order they're usually taken in, but this morning I want to reverse it because I want to start with the glory of God alone. And before I do that, I'm going to pray, but I also want to just say a brief thank you, because I do see a number of folks here who very ably served and helped in the capacity of speaking to the congregation over the time I was away. Bruce, thank you. Susan, a thank you to you. Mike, to you as well. Also, Brian Hall and Harv Wilkie, but so many others. If you look around the building this morning, you might see cleaner carpets. They've been done. Thank you to the board arranging all of that. Work in the gathering hall and in the cloakroom. Just wonderful to see that I can go away and not have to worry. To know, I mean this from the depth of my own heart, to have these things so wonderfully cared for, looked after, and done. I'm going to pray, but just before I do, Solomon in the back row, Now, everyone turn and look at Solomon waving his hand, okay? Solomon, welcome. Solomon Umazian. Solomon is in the doctoral program at McMaster, and he's going to be speaking here on, I think it's October 22nd, so we're looking forward to that. He said he wanted to come today and familiarize himself with us, so give him a good familiarization after the service, will you? All right? Make him feel at home. Welcome to you, Solomon. Let's pray. Lord, we've been singing about it. We're going to end the service singing it in such a pronounced way. To God be the glory. And so in this first message of this five-part series, we ask you, Lord, show your glory to us in your word, in your person, in your being. Stir and change our lives, minds, spirit, even our bodies. Touch them to your honor and your glory this morning, we pray. We offer ourselves to your instruction, your teaching, your leading, your will. Amen. Well, it is the summertime, and whoa, I don't have a whole lot of time left here. I'm going to give you a short summer quiz because I haven't been traveling all across Canada. But I thought I would give you a short quiz. We're going to move from the west to the east. That's just a little bit of a hint. Some familiar landscapes, and let's just test them. Where's this? Come on, folks. Well, I think I heard you say that. There you go. That's right. All right. That's a relatively easy one. I thought of putting one up there to fool you, you know, Moraine Lake there. It's somewhat close in Alberta. Let's try this one. Oh, come on. Where some of you go canoeing here in September? Algonquin Park, a little bit of a, you know, it's not evident and obvious, but that wonderful fall color foliage. There we go. What about that one? Wow, have you ever seen an aerial of Niagara Falls like that before? Isn't that simply stunning? There you go. Look at that water rushing over. What about this one? Yeah, Hopewell Rocks. How many have been in New Brunswick and seen this, Bay of Fundy? Do you understand, Brian and Nancy Hall were just there, not here this morning, down in Cobourg with their family, but they were in the Maritimes this summer too, and the guide told them, I was talking to Brian, the guide told them that, you know, in the tides that come in and out here, okay, in, out, four tides during the course of the day, that's equivalent, the power and the force of that tidal flow is equivalent to 1 year and 9 months of water that goes over Niagara Falls. That's stunning. That's unbelievable, but it's true. How about this one? Oh, I said east. Where'd you come from, George, this summer? Where are you? You didn't hike up here, did you? No, likely not. You know this one? Gros Morne National Park, the summit, looking out over 10-mile pond out there. Quite a view in Newfoundland. What about that one? Help me out, Jan. Where's that one? You recognize that one, Jan? That is the entrance to... I had to put this one up, folks. One of the most stunning views in all of Canada. This is the entrance into Cove Head Harbor and Cove Head Bay. And that's where our cottage is. Oh, I fooled you all there. But I'm going to come back to just that entrance. You can see it on the left, that little bit of sand. And I don't know whether you can see that lighthouse there, but all of these things, as you've looked at them, they have, I believe, something of the wow factor to them. They're stunning. Some in their way spectacular. They're beautiful. They're incredible. They're fantastic. It's tremendous. I mean, I come around on Bayshore Road and I go, whoa, every summer I see it. Yeah, it's 42 years now. Whoa, I can't hardly take it in the wonder of it. It's awesome. It's breathtaking. It's overwhelming. Some of these things, you'd stand at the summit of Gros Morne National Park, and my daughter's been up there. The clouds, she could see. It was. She used the word glorious. Would be the word that you use. Creation. There's that lighthouse in the entrance to Cove Head Bay, but right on the ocean there. But creation is a glory reflection of who God is. Creation tells us something about God, the power of God, the beauty of God, God's wonder and God's majesty. One of the verses in Scripture says this, Psalm 19 and verse 1, that the heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of His hands. And when we have eyes to see and we can take this in, we can recognize and understand the beauty of creation, when our eyes speak to us of that, and we see that splendor and that magnificence, and we get that wow factor, in that very moment, what's going on? When I come around that road, and I look, and I say, whoa, that's giving glory to God, the Creator. And that's a great and that's a good gift for us to be able to do. That's what we're made for. You want to understand something of our destiny of human beings? It's that, to have our eyes, our senses, fully alert, wide open, to be able to see the marvelous works of God's hands and continue to be amazed by it. That it doesn't become overly familiar to us in that sense. Again and again and again, we're able to speak out the wonder of what we're experiencing and seeing and give glory to God. You know, when you see something beautiful, I believe I know this and understand this, that your instinctive response is to keep that inside and to yourself, right? No, you can't do that. And so we speak it out and we say it out. God, You are the glorious Creator of this glorious sunrise. Who's been up to see a sunrise recently? Well, sunset, at least, okay? Creation is a glory reflection of who God is. Can I tell you something? This isn't new news to you, but I think you need to be refreshed with it all the time. You are a creation of God. You are God's creation. Now, what does that mean? Well, it means simply that you are to be a glory reflection of who God is. Now, I won't fault you if something just went a little fuzzy for you right there, because think of it. Whenever someone sees you, Mike, the first word they should say is, awesome. Well, I know you've got a sweatshirt that says that already. But no, when someone sees you, their response should be glorious, stunning, incredible. Not to give you the glory and honor. But I would say that over the life of Deb Roberts. That's incredibly glorious. But what God is doing in her life, in and through and with her. But you know, sometimes that picture for us about who we are and being a glory reflection of God, it can go fuzzy on us. And there's a real reason for that, because Romans 3 and verse 23 says that all of us have sinned and we've fallen short of the glory of God. And it's our sin that keeps us wanting to grab and hold and clutch that glory of God that belongs to God for ourselves. Our sin is wanting to keep that for ourselves. Our sin goes right back, Genesis 10, 11, you know, wanting to make a name for ourselves, no matter what the sphere is that we're living in and that we're working in. You know, tomorrow, most people are going to be fixated on the sun and the moon. It's solar eclipse day. Be careful. But the moon is going to be passing between the sun and the earth. Now, I don't have an eclipse question for you here, but I have a moon and sun question. Why does the moon shine? Well, I think you largely know the answer to this. Let me test you. Does the moon create its own glow? No. The moon is a reflection of the shining of the sun. Now, understand this. It only shows something like 3 to 12%. That's the spectrum that the moon can show. But my goodness, you see that 12%. You see a full moon. I saw that shimmering over the waters of Cove Head Bay this summer. It was magnificent. Kept me up to midnight and beyond. But the moon doesn't create that. It reflects that from the sun. And we're not to be glory creators. We're called to be glory reflectors. Sin is, in its essence, seeking to be a glory creator. And I've been reminded of this again and again through the past week and the month with the evil events that have been taking place through the U.S. and in Spain and other countries, of a line that I read years and years ago from Alexander Solzhenitsyn, the Russian writer. He wrote this: "The line dividing good and evil cuts through the heart of every human being." And whether it's a neo-Nazi or a white supremacist or an Antifa or a member of ISIS, a terrorist, or it's me, ordinary me, the heart of every one of us seeks to be a glory creator. Every single one of us has fallen and come short of the glory of God. And I need, and you need, and all of us need a heart change. We need a transplant surgeon. And his name is Dr. Jesus. And here's how that transplant procedure works. Jesus is the exact representation of God's glory. Jesus reveals to the precise degree, to the exact measurement, the glory of God. Creation, at its best, is but a 12% representation. But Jesus is 100% representation of God's glory. Hebrews 1, verse 1 says, "The Son, Jesus, is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being." John 1, 14, "The Word," or Christ, Deb was speaking about Jesus and his humanity and divinity, "God became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We've beheld his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." All of God's promises for his creation, all of the promises of God directed towards your life, towards our life, found their fulfillment in this little baby born in Bethlehem. And then 33 years later, the glory of God was on full display. Imagine this: hanging on a cross, dying on that cross, so that we could experience a heart change. We could be given a new heart to become someone, a person fully alive, eyes able to see, mind alert, a life alive in Jesus Christ, and giving glory to God alone. The heart of God is to share his glory with you. You know, driving here this morning, saw a couple golf courses, saw a couple other things. I'm going to tell you, the glory of creation, I mean, creation's magnificent, but the glory of creation is not enough to change a heart. It can't change a heart. Creation at its best is only a rumor of glory. It's only the full glory of God revealed in Jesus Christ that can change us and open the door for me, for you, to become a real glory reflector of God. God's word says this, 2 Corinthians 3:11, "And we all, who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit." I find that overwhelming. I'm going to tell you, that's one of the most stunning verses in Scripture. It's hard to grasp the truth and the reality of this, because what it's saying is that this veil that is like a cloud, it's like a curtain that's over our lives, the veil of being a glory seeker, the sin of trying to make a name for myself, Jesus is the one who removes that. And our eyes, your eyes, are opened to see the beauty and the wonder, the power and the majesty, the holiness, the truth, the love, the glory of the living God. And not only to see the glory of God, but get this, to begin to experience I love the way Deb put this so humbly, an ever-increasing change in our lives to reflect more. It doesn't come easy. It's difficult. But to show more and more and more of God's glory, the life of Christ in our lives. You know, what I could never do for myself, what you could never do for... We had no hope of being able to do this. God is actually at work, committed to doing this work. The good work he started, he's going to bring to completion. Doing this work more and more and more through Christ. So that brings me to the scripture Mike read for us. Whether you eat or you drink or whatever you do, you're a glory reflector. Do it. Just do it to the glory of God. Be one of God's dearly loved glory reflectors. You know, sometimes we can get, I think, to thinking to ourselves that, you know, the good days, the glory days are off in our future. They're going to, you know, after we graduate from school. Well, some of you did that a long time ago. Maybe after that doctorate comes, Solomon, right? Or maybe we see it after getting a good job or after buying a house or after getting married or after having a family or after grandchildren or after retiring. It's always after, and all of a sudden, you know what happens? Some of you understand this. All of a sudden, the future catches up with you, and there's not a whole lot of after left for you. And you ask, where's the glory? Where's the glory? I want to say to you this morning, no matter your present life situation, you are presently living in the moment of God's glory right now. And you will be living in the moment of God's glory when you go into the gathering hall and you have conversation in there when the service is over. You're going to be in the moment of the glory of God when you're having lunch. Some of you are looking forward to this, I'm sure. You're going to be living in the glory of God in the moment that you take your nap this afternoon. Do you hear me? When you go to work tomorrow, or whatever life in retirement holds for you, the busyness of retirement, you get to live that. Whatever it is you do, do it to the glory of God. Whether you eat or you drink or whatever you do, whatever it is, do it to the glory of God. Be a glory reflector in everything, with everyone, and in every seemingly ordinary moment of your life. Friends, I want to say to you, from now on, if you haven't been doing this, eat to the glory of God. Drink to the glory of God. Play with your children. Play with your grandchildren to the glory of God. Look after your family members to the glory of God. It's not all going to be glamorous. Rest assured of that. But I believe this, that God is going to be in it to make something glorious out of it as you offer the moments, every moment of your life to Him in the name of Christ. I'll tell you what it's not about. My little attempt to write my own bit of Latin up there, sola mio gloria, you know, it's not for the glory of me alone. That's the sin, making a name for ourselves, seeking to be a glory creator, a glory grabber. No, it's sola Deo gloria. Friends, that's for the glory of God alone. Emil, can you play some of the music of To God Be the Glory just in the background? Friends, stand with me now. We're going to pray as Emil does that.